And the devotees asked, what will happen to us? And Prabhupada said, just remember Lord Nrisimhadev. In this way, this Bhudevi, Mother Earth, she is our mother, and she is such a mother that she is everyone's mother. The Shastra says that we have seven mothers.
और वास्तव में यही माँ ऐसी है जो सबसे की सात माताएं होती हैं।
The scriptures say that a person has seven mothers. The mother that gives birth, she is her our mother. And the nurse that sometimes feeds us milk, she is our mother. The king's wife is our mother. And the spiritual master's wife is our mother. Our older brother's wife is also our mother. Thou is considered mother. The earth is considered mother. They take care of, they provide and maintain our bodies. Sometimes we've seen our village in our village that when a child is born, and usually in a joint family, the child is taken care by the husband's older brother, his uncle, his aunt. She brings him up in the same household. He just grows up in the lap of the sister-in-law of the mother, the older brother's wife. She is like a mother. And when the same child grows up, he forgets and he rejects her. And they forget that she is also our mother. So out of these seven mothers, not all the, out of these seven mothers, six mothers are not at the same time mothers of every living entity in this world. If I have taken milk from some cow, that cow is our mother. If the older sister-in-law of my mother has taken care of me, she is my mother. We have a family priest, then his wife is my mother. In this way, but their mothers are only one or two or few people. But in the real sense, the real mother is Mother Earth, because she is a mother to all living beings. This juice that is sold everywhere in America, Tropicana, where did this juice come from? From whose body it's coming? Many children these days would not even know that it comes from the earth. One time we were driving to Vrindavan, and an older sannyasi from our movement, he asked me, what are these yellow flowers? There was some mustard growing on the side of the road in the fields.
Mustard plant.
He asked me, what is this?
Mustard oil plant se aata hai.
And I said, this is mustard plants, mustard seeds plants. And he said, he was surprised. He says, mustard comes from a plant? He did not even know that. So this mustard seed comes from a flower, from a plant. And this plant is coming from Mother Earth. So this mustard oil is actually the energy of Mother Earth. So when we eat potatoes or any vegetables, it is not coming from some prime minister's body. It is coming from the body of Mother Earth. Isn't it? It is very sad situation that people in the cities do not realize that these things are coming from Mother Earth, from the earth. Because we just go and pick it up from the supermarket. Actually, nothing comes from supermarket. Everything is grown from the earth. Here in America, there's so many stores. You can't count how many things are provided. So many varieties of fruits here. Such a big, huge watermelon. Where did it come from? The mother is providing. She is even providing for these rascals who do not believe in God. So many kinds of watermelons, mangoes, lemons, tomato a day keeps a doctor away. So where is this tomatoes coming from? All the scientists of the world get together, they cannot produce one tomato. If they all get together and they have a conference that they will make one tomato, and if they're not allowed to use any of the ingredients that God has provided, the water and earth, etc., can they make a tomato? They will die, but they won't be able to make. What can they make without the ingredients? But that kind of one tomato, and most ordinary plant can produce. Ordinary plant, you just put in the ground, and the Lord's natural energies. In the Bhagavad Gita, he says, that the Shaktis, the Lord's energies, are natural. Gyan, Bal, or Kriya, they're all three are natural. Natural means without any conference or factory, just easily it happens on its own. It just grows. Just like when you plant a seed for the tomato, a plant comes out on its own naturally, and in time a flower becomes a tomato, is green, and then it becomes red. On its own, naturally. There is no division that comes to paint the tomato. It happens on its own. Inside becomes red, and outside becomes red. Inside is full of juice, and outside there's like a thin plastic, like a cover, to keep the juice fresh. And just like that, there's so many unlimited tomatoes, etc. This is called natural, swabhavik. Swabhavik. Just like the sun, heat is coming out of it constantly. And it's naturally, it's called swabhavik, swabhavik. Nobody has to take so much gasoline from here, carry it and put it in the sun to get heat. And here in this world, man-made, everything is aswabhavik. We have to work very hard to produce something. Just like there is this plastic flower, If somebody could see how it was produced, who made these, there must have been a lot of endeavor to produce these plastic flowers. These don't just grow naturally, but you plant a seed and flowers just come up naturally. Parasya Shakti. We can see and we can hear and see the Supreme Lord Shakti's, his energy is working. We sometimes take lemon. When you think about it, you see inside the lemon, when you cut it, there's so many small little juice containers. You squash it and then the juice comes out. This is this arrangement of the Lord. This is coming from the Mother Earth. From one earth or one piece of earth, you can have 1,000 different things growing in 1,000 different tastes. You can plant sugar cane and you'll get a sweet taste. Right next to you, you can plant chili, green chilies, and you will get hot taste. And right next to it, you can plant some sweet fruit. In this way, you can plant all different kinds of things, giving a variety of different tastes and flavors. Variety of fragrance and smell and taste and colors are coming out of the earth. This is swabhavik, this is natural. So this Mother Earth, she is the Lord's wife. She is one of the Lord's wives, and we are all His children. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, then I am the seed-giving father. Here the Lord says, that he is the seed-giving father. He is easily enjoying in his dham. And see, Lord Vishnu, he seems to be always sleeping. He doesn't have to work very hard to provide for unlimited living entities. Although his sleep is not like our sleep mode of ignorance, he is in yoga nidra. The point is that after giving birth to all these unlimited living entities, and he is peacefully sleeping or peacefully enjoying, he is not in anxiety. One or two children, we have to be in anxiety. We have to do this, make the house, do a job, buy this, buy that. But this is the Lord's Aishwarya. He is with no anxiety. And with two children, we worry so much for now and for the future, how they'll grow up, and what they'll do, and how they'll eat, how they'll survive. Have to do all this. And then they think they're God. And if they're God, then they should be without anxiety like God. The Lord, the Supreme Lord, has created so many such things which can maintain other living entity. One of them is this Mother Earth. We all study in school, we study in geography, we are taught about the earth, the countries, the mountains, but they never teach us that who has made these things. They do not even tell us that Mother Earth is providing all these things and she is giving us shelter. That this mustard oil is coming from the earth. Generally in Bengal and Orissa, people cook in mustard oil. They are quite used to cooking in mustard oil. Without mustard oil, they cannot cook. And in Gujarat, they cook mainly in peanut oil. And in South India, they cook in coconut oil. It's coconut oil or peanut oil or mustard oil, it's all coming from the earth. And if it's diesel and petrol, it's all coming from the earth. And these grains, this wheat, this bread is coming, satisfying our hunger. Where is this bread coming from? So used to living in the city, people think this flour is coming from such and such company because there is the stamp of the company providing, and this company, this bread is coming from such and such company. So much hand of the man's, the factory, the brand, etc., that people forget the actual root of where this foodstuffs is coming from. They forget they cannot visualize how this is coming from the ground. All these things, how they are originally grown from the ground and then made into flour and bread and etc. That's why in the previous times the rishis, etc., the sages, they would go live in the forest or they would live in a village, because they can very easily see the hand of God in everything. It is, you can only see the man's hand in everything. It's very hard to see how this is something is created by God. This flat, that flat, that high-rise building. We cannot even, in the cities, we cannot even see the earth sometimes. In big city, you cannot see the earth. It's everywhere is this tar road, or there's pavement, high-rise buildings, flats, roads, freeways. When you go out in the nature and you see a mountain, then you can think, who put this mountain here? If you ever get to see a tree with fruits and you actually pick a fruit from the tree and eat, then you can really feel how the fruit actually comes from the earth. Here I don't see anywhere any fruit, any trees that people can actually go and pick a fruit and eat it. Everyone has to actually go to a shopping place and buy, purchase fruits in these plastic containers, etc. So it is very hard to have this natural Krishna consciousness and appreciation in the city life. From this point of view. But actually, if one hears Bhagavatam, he can be Krishna conscious anywhere. And if somebody does not hear the Bhagavatam, he could be living in a forest or a countryside and be eating out of a tree and the plants. And if he does not hear the Bhagavatam, does not hear Krishna Katha, he will not be Krishna conscious. It's important to hear. Just like just now all of you are hearing, and by hearing you can understand Mother Earth, she is our mother, and the Supreme Lord Krishna is our father. The greatest misfortune today is that people, they do not understand that who is the Supreme Lord, and thereafter this artificial or fake Supreme Lords. It's very unfortunate that they can actually call an ordinary person God. And to attain fame, name, fame, reputation, these so-called gods, they remain quiet. They like being called. And these foolish people, they call anybody God. Know the meaning of God so that they can accept anybody as God. Like if somebody does not know actually what a sheep is, or a goat is or a cow is, if they don't really know, then they will see anything and they will accept that, oh, this is a cow or this is a goat. And if somebody does not know the actual meaning of God, and somebody comes and says, does a few tricks and says, I am God, then he will have a few thousand followers. Is that person who has made this Mother Earth? If you think about who made this planet Earth, from his navel came the lotus flower and Lord Brahma was born. There is history in the Shastras. At what time and when, what was created and who took birth and from whom what was created. But here they have distributed this knowledge, the scientists have, that originally there was a big rock, it was spinning, and there was a big bang. And if you ask them, how did you know there was a rock in the beginning? And if you ask them, who made this rock and who was making it spin? They should be questioned, but they cannot answer beyond. Only till today they have made a fool out of the public. If Prabhupada had not come, they would not have been able to continue with this. Not that before creation there was a rock. No, there was always Lord Narayan. And from him everything came. From his navel came Lord, from his navel Lord Brahma was born. And from the lotus, earth, etc., they all were created. They all took birth. And Lord Brahma, from his body, he gave birth to many rishis, such as Bhrigu, Angira, Narad, Pulastya, etc.
गोत्र पढ़ा जाता है पूछा जाता है आप किस गोत्र के हैं तो सबके गोत्र का नाम ब्राह्मण से आता है.
So all these brahmanas were born, and even today when they ask about the origin of your family lineage, the gotras, they're all named after these rishis. These brahmanas, these rishis, they helped in the creation. History, this is true history of ours, and you can even see today. Maybe we cannot see and how the creation, the Lord created, but we can see how the works of the Lord that's in front of us, that cannot be forgotten. How this earth is there and everything is created and provided for all the living entities. So this Mother Earth, this is the situation before the Lord appeared. She became very overburdened. She went to take shelter of Lord Brahma in the form of a cow. Mother Earth has this power that she can stay here as the earth and then she can leave in the form of mother of a cow. Where did she go? She went to Lord Brahma's office. His office is on the Mount Sumeru. Lord Brahma, he lives in Satyalok. But his office is in Sumeru mountain, on the top of the Sumeru mountain. He has a city as big as 10,000 yojanas wide, to oversee the workings of this world, of this universe. That's his office. That's where he works. And in his home he does bhajan. Text 18.
क्रंदन की करुणा दिखो उपस्थितांत के सपने जश्नम समावेशक
That's where Mother Earth went to the office of Lord Brahma. It's a city made of gold. She went to him and she started to cry in the form of a cow. Please protect me. I am suffering. O Creator, I cannot maintain all these children. Please do something. Actually, if one wants to tell his sad story or cry, one should only do it in front of somebody who is worth it, who is able to relieve you of your suffering. What is the use of telling your sad story in front of just anybody? Lord Brahma is Vibhu, he is able. And he has a direct relationship with the Lord. He is the son of the Supreme Lord. If he calls out to Lord Vishnu, then Lord Vishnu will answer. Lord has given him all the Shakti. So she knew that if he calls the Lord, he will come. So Lord Brahma, he heard her plea very carefully, and after hearing, he called all the other demigods. He did not have to call or telephone the demigods. He just had to think of them, and the bell rang. So Lord Brahma spoke to Lord Shiva, etc. And they all decided that even together all of us cannot relieve Mother Earth of her distress. We all don't have the power. So they decided to approach Lord Vishnu and decided to go to the shore of the Kshir Sagar, Kshir Samudra, ocean of milk. Actually, Lord Shiva had given this advice that let's go to ask Lord Vishnu, because when he will appear, he will kill the demons and he will give pleasure to Mother Earth. Let's all go and pray to him to appear. We cannot go inside we do not have the power to go inside the ocean of milk. That is his dham. But we can stand at the shore and we can offer prayers. This way they all went to the shore of the ocean of milk, and they all went, offered prayers. What prayers did they offer? And why did they go to the ocean of milk to pray? Why did not they just pray where they were? Because the Supreme Lord is everywhere. This is a great secret. So all the demigods along with Lord Brahma, such as Lord Shiva, etc., they're always meditating on the benefit and deliverance of this universe. The Lord has made them in charge of different aspects of this universe, that everything goes on smoothly. If there is something wrong, you should take care. Somebody has to maintain. Somebody is in charge of the vayu, the air, somebody is in charge of the water, etc. Sometimes such demons take birth on this earth that they overpower these demigods. And then these demigods are not able to control them. And so all these demigods are devotees of the Lord. Whenever they are in trouble, they pray to the Supreme Lord. This is the nature of a sadhu, of a saintly person. These demigods are like gentlemen, saintly persons, and they are always meditating on the welfare of the living entities. And what idea do we give from here that there is no demigods? The world is just going on automatically like that. Then sometimes I give the example. The animals, they cannot understand that there is a government here. In the same way, the humans, they cannot understand that there are demigods in charge of our universal affairs. But there are demigods, and they have the responsibility of making things going on in this material world comfortable for the living entities, for the human beings and others. So they went to the shore of the ocean of milk. Even Brahma and Lord Shiva don't have the power to go inside their dham. So they started praying on the shore. So this question arises, why didn't Lord Brahma call out to Lord Vishnu from his own home, from his own office? And there's a Siddhanta that Hari Sarvatra Vyapak, Hari is everywhere. And this is true, there is no doubt. Lord is everywhere. So why didn't Lord Brahma just worship the Lord on his Sumeru, Mount Sumeru, and pray for him there? The answer is, yes, the Lord is everywhere, but when you want to offer some praise, when you want something from the Lord, then you should go to his home, to the Lord's home, and ask him there. And everybody knows that if you want a favor, everybody knows that in this world, if you want a favor from a big man, you don't just call him and ask him, you go to his place. Ask him to come to your house. You go to his house. And you pray to him, please help me in this way. I have this problem. This is true in this world. So when we want to plead something to the Lord, we want him to help us or relieve us of our suffering, then we should go to the Lord's place. There is, even on this earth, there are certain places that belong to the Lord's place, such as the temples. And we can go to these places of worship, and we can offer some prayers, we can offer some gifts, some fruits and flowers. And another thing to understand from here, just like Lord Brahma went with all the demigods to see the Lord, we should go to the temple with the whole family. We should take everyone to go and see the Lord. Whatever the Vedic prayers that we have, it is always in plural. Like Satyam Param Dhimahi, in the beginning of the Bhagavatam also, Satyam Param Dhimahi, Dhimahi is that we give our attention to the Supreme Lord. Dhimahi is a plural. That means, this Dhimahi means, so when Vedavyas is saying these prayers, he is saying in a plural. That means he is in all time and place, embracing all living entities, he is offering these prayers on behalf of everybody. So it's an instruction that we all should meditate on the Lord. Whenever in general you see these mantras, it's in plural. It is an instruction that we should all say these prayers. This line of bhakti, devotion, it's not that it is just for us, single person, and nobody else can join and nobody else can do. Bhakti you can do with others. This line of jnan is alone. Whether you fall down or die, you're alone. There is no help. And there is every chance of falling down. But this line of devotion is most amazing. In this, anybody can be helpful to you. When Lord Brahma went to the shore of milk of ocean, he took his son Lord Shiva. He took Mother Earth. This is Lord. This Mother Earth, she is a devotee of Lord Vishnu. And she is a devotee of Lord Vishnu. And here, it is shown that women have as much right for worshipping the Lord or devotional service as much as the men. And Mother Earth, she's a devotee, and yet most living entities, humans living on Mother Earth, they don't believe. And yet they don't believe in God. They don't know Krishna. This is natural. If they don't know, they're agyan, they're in ignorance. Just like a child in the mother's lap, he may not know who the father is. Unless the mother tells who the father is, the child cannot know. He has to hear from the mother. Prabhupada has told this story. It's a true story. I don't know which country. There was one father. He used to come home at 10 o'clock at night. And then next morning, early morning, he used to leave. He had a son, was a baby, and slowly the son grew up. But he never saw his father, because before the father comes to the house, he'd fall asleep, and when the father leaves to go to work, he'd still be sleeping. So the child never saw his father.
तो कभी देखा नहीं अपने पिता को, अपने फादर को देखा नहीं।
Then one day, maybe some holiday, special holiday, that day father was at home. So the boy asks his mother, he says, "Mother, who is this man?" So mother says, "He is your father." The baby says, "What is the meaning of father?"
What is the meaning of father?
So the living entities become so ignorant. In the Bhagavad Gita it is told that there is so much in ignorance, and when we are told Sri Krishna is our father, then we argue, we say, no, nature is everything. Mother is doing everything. Mother nature is doing everything. No, mother is not doing everything. Father is giving, then mother is doing everything. Because the mother, the child has taken birth from the mother, and he's grown up in the mother's lap, and she's fed him, and he thinks that he's all in all. Realize that father is providing, sending the money, giving the food and etc., making the house, and that's how the mother is able to take care. This is our situation also. Nature is the servant of the Supreme Lord. So we know the nature, but we don't know our father. In India, you'll hear everyone is a devotee of Bhavani, of Mother Durga. They'll go to Vaishnav Devi and all these holy places to take darshan of Mother Durga. They know Mother. They know Mother as Adi Shakti. Mother will provide. And hardly anybody goes, not so many people go to Vrindavan to see their Supreme Father.
जाते हैं दर्शन कर ले लेकिन वृंदावन में परम पिता का मदर लेकिन फादर की जब चर्चा चलती है भगवत गीता में कई बार कहते हैं कि मैं पिता हूँ अर्जुन भी कहते हैं आप
भगवत गीता मेनी टाइम्स कृष्णा हैज सेड दैट ही इज द सुप्रीम फादर इवन अर्जुन सेज ही इज द कृष्णा इज द सुप्रीम फादर अर्जुन सेज यू आर द फादर ऑफ ऑल मूविंग एंड नॉन मूविंग थिंग्स And just see how much ignorance is a person that he can know who his mother is and he does not know who his father is. And also he's not really knowing the mother, he doesn't really know the mother, he is just using all the facility mother is giving, eating everything, and when somebody mentions who your father is, who the Supreme Lord is, he says, no. No, the Supreme Lord is impersonal, nirakar. Those who accept that there is a Supreme Father and then they're saying that the father is nirakar, impersonal. Or at least you should accept who your father is on Father's Day. 16th of June was Father's Day. These days, they come so that we can remember that at least once a year we should respect our father. We should remember him, give him a gift. Actually, we should respect and serve our father every day, but according to the culture, here, at least once a year, there must be a Mother's Day also.
Guru Purnima kahte hain. In Guru ki puja ki.
In India we have a Guru's Day, Guru Purnima.
Sab jagah Guru.
That day everybody worships their Guru.
Lekin shayad is desh mein Guru Day namak koi vastu nahi hoga.
Maybe here in this country maybe there is no Guru Day.
Jo kuch bhi ho, prakriti ko hum log jante hain, nature ko jante hain, lekin pitaji ko nahi jante.
Whatever it is, we know nature but we don't know our Supreme Father.
भगवान कृष्ण कहते हैं मेरी अध्यक्षता में यह प्रकृति सबको जन्म देती है और पालती है.
कृष्ण सेज अंडर माय सुपरविजन.
तो हमारा कर्तव्य है कि हम
प्रकृति इज गिविंग बर्थ एंड
यह विधि रही है हमारी वैदिक
मेंटेनिंग ऑल द लिविंग एंटिटीज.
भगवान का भजन समवेत.
दिस इज आवर ड्यूटीज
रही है,
ड्यूटी टू नो हु इज आवर सुप्रीम फादर.
भगवान का भजन समवेत रूप से किया.
So it has always been our Vedic system that the Lord's devotional service should be done in a Samaveta way, means all together, as a family, as a community, as a country. This is our Sanatan Parampara. That's why most of these bhajans and prayers are in plural. And we see in India, when people they come to the temple, they come with their wife, their children. Mother carries somebody in her arm, somebody in her hand. And she takes them for parikrama and she makes them bow down and offer obeisances. The child doesn't know where is the Lord and what is happening, but mother teaches him to offer obeisances. She makes him take charanamrit prasadam. In the world there's some sects that say no, women should not do devotional service, children should not be told to do. Women should not hear Bhagavatam, it's only for men. And even among men it's not for young people. It's for old people. Devotional service is for old people when you become useless and you cannot do anything for the society.
और बूढ़ों से जब कहा जाता है कि आप जप कीजिए, भगवान कृष्ण के भक्त कीजिए, तो कहते हैं अब हमसे क्या हो.
एंड व्हेन यू टेल द ओल्ड पीपल यू प्लीज डू सम भक्ति एंड यू डू सम चैंटिंग एंड दे देन दे से व्हाट कैन आई डू नाउ, बॉडी इज टू ओल्ड.
भगवान का भजन अपंग आदमी को करना चाहिए, जो समाज का काम करने लायक न हो उसको करना.
इन जनरल इन इंडिया पीपल बिलीव दैट डिवोशनल सर्विस शुड बी डन दोस बाय समबडी हु इज हैंडीकैप्ड. Who cannot do anything else? But who could be greater than Lord Brahma? Who could be more intelligent, more wise, more able than Lord Brahma? Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee. Indra, Surya, Chandra, they're all devotees.
भगवान के धाम में जाना चाहिए अपने बंधु बांधवों के साथ. सिनेमा जाना.
So it is taught to us that we should go to the dham, the holy places, with our family and friends.
सिनेमा जाना भी हो तो अकेले छिप कर.
But these days it's become a fashion that people go to the movies and cinema with their family and friends. Even if somebody has to go to the cinema, he should go quietly, alone.
अगर किए बिना न मन माने तो अकेले करना चाहिए.
If one has to do something sinful, he cannot do without doing something sinful. He should do it alone. He should not encourage others or family members to do it. And there are still some people in India, they think, okay, let me do what I, if I want to do something bad, let me do it alone. Let me not engage my family into it, such as smoking or drinking. Such parents, fathers that tell their children, don't smoke cigarette, it's not good for you, but they themselves are smoking cigarettes. There was this man, he had his son was about 14, 15 years of old, years of age, and his son was eating he was eating this chewing tobacco. Chewing tobacco. So this man told me, Maharaj, please tell my boy that he should not eat tobacco. So I told him, why are you taking it? Then he says, tell him that he should not take it now. Maybe when he is my age, he can do it. Actually, he was telling me to preach to his son. So I said, why do you eat? You stop eating this tobacco. And then he became a little upset with me. He said, Swamiji, tell him that he should do it later when he's my age. Don't do it now. So, tobacco is bad thing. Why should he eat it when he's your age? So it's the father's duty to take his father, to his son to the shore of the ocean of milk or to the temple. It's the duty of the king to take all his subjects to the lotus feet of the Lord.